Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, freedom, wellness, health, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode, we'll be hearing snippets of VCOP 16, Vegan Convergence of the Peoples, an online vegan event hosted by Climate Healers. We'll start out by hearing from presenter Dottie Bosch, an Olympic athlete. Here's some of her presentation.
Now, I eat only plants daily now for their taste and the performance they give my body. But when I went plant-based back in 2010, no one was doing it. But as I transitioned, I started noticing really positive changes in my body in recovery and in output. And I had never known these feelings before when I was stuffing my face with animals. And I remember I started to ask more questions immediately, like, why? Why is the mammalian secretion from very specific bovine species sold to us as the perfect food for humans? And as I looked deeper, I realized the dairy industry is the title sponsor of the U.S. Olympic Committee. I was right. Always follow the dollar. They were selling a product, and I wasn't going to be buying it anymore. All right, we're going to move on to section two. And it's titled, Why Dairy Will Be the First Animal Food to Fold and How Switch for Good is Winning. The launch of Switch for Good almost 6 years ago was actually never intended to become an organization. What happened was that in 2018, a group of very passionate Olympians from four different countries, myself included, we banded together to film a 30-second commercial that would air on NBC on the closing ceremonies of the 2018 Winter Olympic Games. We wanted to set the record straight, basically, and tell the world that cow's milk is not what fuels Olympic medals, as the dairy industry had been selling us athletes that lie for a very, very long time. And we'd had enough. So we gathered the evening the commercial was set to air. We gathered on Twitter. It was in February of 2018, Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, and we're waiting for it to appear. We had paid for it to air in six cities across the country, and I was in Los Angeles to watch this groundbreaking moment at 7:30, 35 p.m. We knew exactly when it was supposed to come on, and it never came on. The minutes ticked by, no commercial. I was totally devastated. We all were. And the next morning, we called NBC. Without saying it in so many words, they let us know that the dairy industry called and got our ad kicked off. Follow the dollar, right? It had actually aired once in Washington, D.C., and then the power of big dairy ruined us getting to expose their nasty truth. That day is when I became a lifelong activist. I promised myself nothing like this was ever going to happen again. I would not be muzzled and unable to tell the truth. And we were going to fight all the way to the bitter end to put a stop to this horrid industry's chaos and wreckage of our planet, our health, and the precious beings who are enslaved and killed. Switch for Good was born that day. Really, the title, we were putting the commercial out and we had like 48 more hours to get it to NBC. And we're like, we need an end card. We have to tell people what to do. And we're telling them what not to do. And somebody said in the marketing, Switch for Good. And that's what was the end card of the commercial that never showed. So Switch for Good as an organization was really born that day, though. And we have spent every day since fighting for justice. Our work is quite expansive. We're here to end the consumption of dairy worldwide. 70% of the world is intolerant to even digesting lactose after infancy, which is a completely normal situation. Humans are born with an enzyme lactase, which helps us to digest lactose. But in most humans, that enzyme is designed to turn off post-breastfeeding years. And here is where I think the truth is really shocking, but hopeful. 73% of the dairy industry's income in the United States comes from our federal government. The public is not keeping the dairy industry in business. Sadly, our tax dollars are. We are literally teetering on the edge of winning. And with our federal bill, known as the Add Soy Act, which some of you have been so incredible in supporting, and our work on the dietary guidelines, we are closer to the finish line, I think, than we ever were. Our Add Soy Act is a bipartisan bill and has been introduced in both House and Senate. It's very simple bill, actually. It will require public schools to offer soy milk to kids in the National School Lunch Program. Crucially, the bill also directs the USDA to fully reimburse schools, right? Because that's the main problem. They're not reimbursed for the cost of the plant milk provided at the same rate as dairy milk.
Liz, did you have a question?
Hey, my two favorite ladies here, Jane Velez Mitchell and Dotsie Bosch, you two bring me so much joy being able to see your work. And I have to tell you, the USDA work that you're doing is going to be the only way to really open the door, because that's the pushback I always get working in our schools. Yeah. It's part of the USDA regulations. Yeah. So therefore, we don't have to do anything about it. It's right. Okay for us to continue doing what we're doing. And it's a real shame. I've shared my story about the garden project in my school where I tried to get plant-based milks or plant-based. The curriculum contains dairy. And we're not allowed to talk about it. You can talk about how fruits and veggies are grown all day long, but if you say one negative thing about that tub of Greek yogurt on the table, or even want to mention the production, the environmental impacts, anything about it, it's absolutely forbidden, and it makes them uncomfortable. I made them uncomfortable by questioning dairy. And do you know what? People were uncomfortable when we wanted to overcome slavery. People were uncomfortable when we wanted to fight for women's rights. People were uncomfortable when we fought for civil rights. And here we are again. People are uncomfortable. The USDA dietary guidelines need to change. And you won't believe this. My mother and her family were a USDA Family of the Year in the 1940s. On their magazine, there's a picture of my mom and my grandmother carrying their groceries, and they came in to film the family. This was the all-American family. They lived outside of Washington, D.C. If they only knew my mother was going to have a vegan daughter someday, right?
Oh, my God.
Family of the Year.
That's
so
insane.
Here we are, and it's gonna happen. It's happening. Thank you, yeah. Dad. It's happening.
It is. We're in the midst of it. I try to remind myself of this fact every day, because it to all of us it seems like it's taking forever. But the National School Lunch Program was formed in 1946. Right, it's 2024. It's been 78 years where the children have had one choice for a beverage. So it's going to take a hot minute to unwind and unravel and be able to figure out, yeah, it's going to be complicated. We've done one thing for 78 years, but we're going to have to figure this out.
Yeah.
Right? So it's tough when something is so longstanding.
I asked my grandson's school, why isn't the soy milk available? I really didn't believe that they actually had any in stock. I said, please show it to me, because I really don't believe you even have it. But the school food service director, they opened the refrigerator, and in there was some little boxes of soy milk. And one of the kids said, hey, I want to see that soy milk. And guess what the gal at the lunch counter said? No, you can't see it. You're not lactose intolerant. I asked the school food service director, how come it's not available? She said, well, dairy delivers the milk to us, and they charge four times as much for the oat milk than they do the cow's milk. See, the dairy industry is distributing the soy milk and jacking up the price four times to these schools. So they keep it hidden. They really don't want you to know, because it just costs too much. So thank you. We are going to win at this. Let's use critical thinking. Come on, grow the soy, feed the cows, make the milk. How about grow the soy, feed the people? Make it organic. We can do this. We're going to do this.
We're listening to a snippet of VCOP 16, Vegan Convergence of the Peoples, held online January 27th, 2024, hosted by Climate Healers. And now here's another message in the deep veganism philosophy, authentic veganism. This is Aaron Janis. In Canada, dairy is scary. This is separate from the VCOP. This is a little clip because it's very important for the holistic education, so that we are aware of what the bovines and others too, the goats, the nanny goats, the ewes, the sheep, the camels, the buffalo, all of those females who are exploited in their offspring who are violated and exploited in the dairy industry. So here's a little educational snippet from Erin Janis. It's a 5-minute video clip, and for these purposes, I have edited it down and found it necessary to edit out some of the information, truthful information, but to edit it out for this broadcast.
All right, guys, so since everyone's so busy these days, I'm going to explain to you how the dairy industry works in 5 minutes. Like other female mammals, cows only lactate, or produce milk, when they're pregnant or have a newborn to feed. So the dairy industry inseminates or impregnates cows starting at the age of around 12 months over and over and over again so they keep making milk. And it's a rather routine process. You see, first the industry f***s off a bunch of bulls. And that semen is collected and then inserted into the vagina of a female cow with a long tube, usually while she's confined in what the industry calls a rape rack.
What are you feeling for in there when you... Oh, it's a bit jumpy. I think I would be if someone did that to me.
Help that semen go where it needs to go.
You must be responsible for a lot of calves.
Yes.
And when that baby cow is born, it's pretty much immediately taken away from its mother and locked in a crate. Because if it stayed around mom, it would drink her milk. And that's for us. And you see, a mother cow's bond with her young is very strong and affectionate. And she sometimes cries out for days in search of her baby. But nobody gives. If the baby's a male, his throat is slit and he's sold for veal. And if it's a girl, she's raised to be a milk machine like mom. So dairy cows are continuously, repeatedly kept pregnant their whole lives to keep them lactating. This leads to premature aging, exhaustion, and mastitis, a painful yet common condition in dairy cows, which is inflammation and sometimes infection of the udder. And when a dairy cow is finally too physically and emotionally exhausted to continue on, she collapses. These cows are called downers, and they are dragged out by whatever means to be killed and sold for beef.
We're listening to the educational video by Erin Janis. This is Dairy is Scared.
It's common in the industry, even on organic dairy farms, for cows to go down after about 4 or 5 years of continuous milk production. But peak milk production declines around 4 to 5 years anyways, so if the dairy cows are still standing, they're going to be killed for hamburgers and beef regardless. You see, the dairy industry is the meat industry. Almost every single dairy cow that you will ever buy milk that came from ends up being killed for meat. So if you're vegetarian, you might want to think about this, because at least when you're being raised for meat, you're just raised for meat and killed. But when you're a dairy cow, you are sexually exploited and emotionally and physically exhausted until you can't take it anymore, and then you're killed for meat. Sounds worse to me. And the natural lifespan of a cow that hasn't been completely exploited? 20 to 25 years, y'all! And as far as the calcium and protein thing goes, study after study after study has shown that those consuming the highest quantities of dairy actually have the highest cases of bone fracture and osteoporosis. And there are dozens of amazing plant-based sources of calcium and protein. I mean, the dairy industry has wormed their way into education systems, nutritional programs, and media to convince us that we need to drink milk. But when you're in school learning about how good milk is for you, that's not because there was a panel of people who care about your health that determined that. That's because the dairy industry paid lots of money for you and your children to hear that message in school, and on TV, and on billboards, and magazines, and for your doctors, who don't have to take more than a few hours of a nutrition course to tell you to drink your milk. You see, rhino milk is for baby rhinos. Dog's milk is for baby dogs. Cat's milk, for baby cats. Rat milk is for baby rats. And cow's milk is for humans? It's for baby cows. And vegans are crazy? Dairy is f***ing scary. Try almond milk, hemp milk, soy milk, flax milk, rice milk, Brazil nut milk, macadamia nut milk, cashew milk. Any milk but dairy milk.
Dairy. This is vegan musician Diesel Automatic. Dairy.
Gary.
If his song Dairy is scary.
Gary. I'm a vegan, you hear me? Of animal products, I'm wary. I'm telling them dairy is scary, so I don't eat cheese, I eat Gary. Not your Rosky, but it's plant-based. Stuff it in my damn face. This cheese ain't made from dairy, but you can't tell by the damn taste. Plus, this stuff got no mucus but a pus. Got no hormones, you don't need dairy for your bones to be tough. And that calcium, I get enough by eating leafy green stuff. And guess what? Plants have protein, no way needed for me to be buff. Dairy cows suffer, mother's baby taken from her just to satisfy the taste. Buds of human are the suckers. Tradition and convenience are the reasons, ain't it crazy how corporate propaganda turning humans into baby cows. I'm a vegan, you hear me? Of animal products, I'm wary. I'm telling them dairy is scary, so I don't eat cheese, I eat Gary. Not your Rosky, but it's plant-based. Stuff it in my damn face. This cheese ain't made from dairy, but you can't tell by the damn taste. Gary, what? Gary, what? Gary, what? Vegan, Gary, what? Gary, what? Gary, what? Plant-based, Gary, what? Gary, what? Gary, what? Vegan, Gary, what? Gary, what? Gary, ooh, plant-based bigness.
We gotta have fun with it. Still spit that truth though. You know what we do. Get big on them.
Thank you very much for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. And now we'll continue with some more clips, edited shortened clips from the 7-hour conference called VCOP 16, Vegan Convergence of the Peoples. Here's information about food healers.
Well, now we are going to be talking about the Food Healers app and demo. Well, demo, I can show you the links where you can download it from. First of all, you know, healthy vegan food. I mean, I think the name came from Sarah, actually. Sarah and Jamin were talking about it. But I was just saying, you know, let's make healthy food freely available to every human being on the planet. That's a basic human right. And my idea was to get churches and temples involved in making this happen originally. So, and I started talking about it with people at Climate Healers, and Jiva was very interested in this idea.
We're listening to Dr. Salish Rao, co-founder of Food Healers, foodhealers.org.
And so the first food healers that we were cooking in, I think the first time we started cooking in a commercial kitchen, Jiva came to volunteer. And that's the first time she came and the last time she came. Because she was diagnosed with cancer and, you know, she was in the hospital after that. And then she wanted this to be her legacy, food healers to be her legacy. And so she left money in her will for a food healers app to be developed, where people can join the app and start events, food events, solicit donations in terms of food or supplies or whatever you need, you should be able to put that up on the app, and others can then meet that, you know, you can say, okay, I can donate that to you. So it could be a bag of rice you need or some potatoes or whatever it is you ask for. And, you know, we want to recruit vendors to join the app and say, oh yeah, we have extra food, so instead of throwing it away, we'll give it to you. So you create this network, a food preparers, volunteers who are helping with cooking the food and with distributing the food, and people who grow the food. So all of these have to be networked together. Okay, so that was the idea behind the app. And we talked about it with Jiva when she was in the hospital too. And so once she passed away and her estate got liquidated and we met all her debts and so on, so we had some money and that was enough to pay for the app to be developed. And that's what we did. And I want to show you what we have done. It just got released on iOS and Android. It was a team in India that did it. It's about, you know, 8-9 months it took them to do it. So I'll show you the web pages. I mean, how you get it on Google and Android. So it's called Food Healers app. So that's what it looks like on the Apple Store. You say Food Healers. And this is screenshots of what's in the app. So join the Foodie List community, explore food events all over the world, select an event and get directions, and host and organize food events seamlessly. So that's what it's meant for. And all of these functionalities have been implemented. We have been going through a beta stage, and now this is the first time it's been released as a public app. And here it is on Android. So you just go to your Google Store, Google Play Store, and download it. Look for Food Healers, and you should see the Climate Healers logo there. Look for Food Healers and join. So you have to log in and join. And I'll show you some of the windows that you see on your phone when you join. So we begin with Jiva. This is our, she's the one who made this happen. So, and thank you so much, Jiva. So this is the beginning. When you open the app, you'll see find food, post event, volunteer. And I've already logged in. It says, welcome, Silas Rao. And it's got about 12 languages. So you can, it'll be in English by default, but you can have about 12 other languages also. And you'll see everything change into those languages. And once you get in, you'll get information on what you can do. And then it gets to the location where you're in. So it'll show you where you are. And if there are any events around, I think it's a 10 kilometer radius, it'll show you on the map right away. And I also wanted to show you that it has a sharing function here. So you should be able to share out and say, this is what I'm using, and share it with your social media. So once you get into the food, it will say, request food or request supply. So it's basically, it could say, I want to know whether, where there's food available or where there are supplies available. Or you can ask for supplies and food. Request food, request supplies. And that also comes with this share button if you want. And this is what your profile looks like. So I have my picture with Kimaya and name and email address and phone number. It's what it'll ask you. This is how you request food. So what food item you want, what quantity you want. You can say, I want 2 bags of beans. And this is the address I want it to be delivered to and the phone number. And someone who's on the app can contact you and say, I have it, or I can give it to you and make it available. Again, that can be shared as well. So to social media. So people are aware, not just those in the app, but your social network will know that you have asked for this on the app. They can come in and then fulfill your request. So all your requests are put in a window that you can see what are your requested and whether they've been satisfied or not. And you can see all requests there. And right now, it's a brand new app, so nothing's up there yet. This is the event. So you can set up an event saying, I'm having a food giveaway at this place, and post the address, start times, start date, start time, end date, end time. What's being served, the number of volunteers required. Once you ask for that, then people can volunteer for your event. And there is security in the back end. So if you ask for, say, if you set up a mutton fest event, it can get rejected because this is not about serving animals. Okay, it's about serving plant-based food. Jiva was very strict about that. It should be only for vegan food. If you ask for a Unity Steel Fest or World Food Healers Day monthly, then it'll get approved. So the approved ones, if it's pending, it's in yellow. If it's approved, it's in green. And if it's rejected, it's in red. And then when you go to the volunteer button, you'll see volunteer requests, volunteer to drive. You can say, I want to go and pick up the food and deliver it to you. And it'll show you what are the events in your area. So if you're in Bangalore, it's in Bangalore. So it's worldwide. And it has recipes. That's the recipe tab, and it has about 1,500 or 1,200 recipes that are all whole food plant-based. And we took it from different sources, and we credit the sources. That's where we got it from. So you can go look up over there. It shows you how many events are scheduled. And when you want to donate food, you can say, I have a bag of potatoes I want to give away. And people come and pick it up. Or you want to volunteer for an event, you can say, you can do that. And you can donate supplies. You can see all donations and volunteers. So you're trying to build like a stickiness about it. And people see, these events are happening. and what to, you know, and where can I go and contribute? So this is how to become a driver for Food Healers. So you can go and pick up things. It is directly linked to Google Maps. So it'll tell you how to drive there, or whichever one you use. Here is the recipe tab. And recipes are categorized into lunch, dinner, snack, dessert, breakfast. Breakfast, smoothie, sauce, dressing, and Unity Stew is a separate recipe category. And you can search on the recipes. You can say, you know, which recipes have eggplant in them. And it'll give you all the recipes that have eggplant in them. You can do multiple searches. You can say eggplant and potatoes. And it'll give you only those that have eggplant and potatoes, because that's what you happen to have. So it allows you to navigate these things. And once you look, then you can click into the recipes and it'll tell you the cooking time. It tells you what you need, what ingredients you need. And then it'll also tell you how to make it. So this is meant to be a tool that people use in order to create these pop-ups. I would love for institutions like, you know, community centers or temples and churches to use this app and to link up with the local grocers and local farmers markets and have them use the app as well, so that we don't waste food. We don't waste produce, and we create healthy meals out of that and make it freely available, so that people know that if they go there, they're going to get healthy food for free. And this, I believe, is a very powerful way to really shake the food system and to make it healthy. And I know that if you give people healthy food for free, they will eat it. So the idea is to engage the community around food. So we have brochures around why we want to give free food away and why it should be not just for poor people, but for all people. So we need to make healthy food freely available. And that's the idea behind this. Let's make this viral. And I'm speaking next week with the marketing team from Arjun Global to see how we can spread the word about this Food Healers app and to get the idea of Food Healers going everywhere.
Much thanks to Dr. Salish Rao and to his granddaughter Kamaya and to all the team at foodhealers.org and all the participants at VCOP 16, Vegan Convergence of the Peoples. And thanks to Diesel Automatic for his music. And to Erin Janice in Canada for her educational videos. And a big thank you to all listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. By vegan musician Carrie Sugar. That's her stage name, Carrie Plummer, in Upper Peninsula, Michigan. This is Marlene wishing you a safe and pleasant day. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.